Sithen the siege and the assault were ceased at Troy, the burg Britained and Brent to brands and ashes, the Tulk that the trams of treason there wrought was tried for his treachery, the truest on earth. It was Aeneas the Athel and his high kind that Sithen depressed provinces and patrons became, well nigh of all the wealth in the West Isles. Fro rich Romulus to Rome reaches him swathe. With great Bobance that burg he bigs upon first, and nevins it his own name, as it now has. Tereus to Tuscany and Telds begins. Langobard in Lombardy lifts up homes, and far over the French flood Felix Brutus, on many banks full broad, Britain he sets, with win, where war and rake and wonder by sides have wont therein, and oft both bliss and blunder full skeet have skifted sin. And when this Britain was bigged by this burn rich, bold Breton therein, Barrett that loved, in many a turn time, tenor that wrought, more fellies on this fold have fallen here oft than in any other that I wot since that ilk time. But of all that here built of Britain's kings, I was Arthur the hendiest, as I have heard tell. Forthy and Aunter in Erd I attle to show that a sally in sight some men it hold, and an outrage adventure of Arthur's wonders. If ye will listen this lay but on a little while, I shall tell it as tit, as I in town heard, with tong, as it is stad and stoken, in story stiff and strong, with lel letters loken, in loam so hast been long. This king lay at Camelot upon Christmas with many lovely lords, leads of the best, reckonly of the round table, all those rich brethren, with rich royal oric and reckless mirths. Their tourneyed talks by times full many, jousted full jollily these gentle knights. Sithen came to the court carols to make, for there the fest was illike full 15 days, with all the meat and the mirth that men couth avise. Such glaum and glee glorious to hear, dear din upon day, dancing on nights. All was hap upon high in halls and chambers, with lords and ladies, as Lewis then thought. With all the weal of the world they wound their salmon, the most kid knights under Christ himself, and the loveliest ladies that ever life had, and he the comeliest king that the court holds. For all was this fair folk in her first age, on seal, the hapness under heaven, king highest man of will. It were now great nigh to Niven, so hardier here on hill. While new year was so yep that it was new coming, that day double on the dais was the dooth served. Fro the king was coming with knights into the hall, the chantre of the chapel came to an end. Loud cry was there cast of clerics and others. Noel, native one, nevened full oft, and singers reached forth, running to rich Hansels, gay gear's gifts on high, yielded them by hand. Debated busily about those gifts, ladies laughed full loud, though they had lost. And he that won was not wroth. That may ye well trow. All this mirth they made to the meat time. When they had washed worthily, they went to sit. The best burn I above, as it best seemed, when Guinevere, full gay, graithed in the middle, dressed on the dear dais, dubbed all about. Small sendal besides, a silver her over, of tried to loose, and tars, tappets enough, that were embroidered and beaten with the best gems that might be proved of price with pennies to buy in day. The comeliest to descry, their glint with iron grey, a semlocher that ever he sigh, such might no man say. But Arthur would not eat till all were served. He was so jolly of his joyfulness and somewhat child-geared. His life liked him light, he loved the less, either to long lie or to long sit, so busied him his young blood and his brain wild. And also another manner moved him eke, that he through noble had nomen. He would never eat upon such a dear day, ere him devised were of some adventurous thing an uncouth tale, of some main marvel that he might trow, of elders of arms or other adventures, other some sag him besought of some sicker knight to join with him in jousting, in jeopardy to lay, lead, life for life, lieu econ other, as fortune would fulsome him the fairer to have. This was the king's countenance, where he in court was, at each farren fest among his free many in hall. Therefore, a face so fear, he stiggles stiff in stall, full yep in that new year, much mirth he makes withal. Thus there stood in the stall the stiff king himself, talking before the high table of trifles full hend. There good Gawain was graithed, Guinevere beside, and Agravaine a la Dormant on that other side sits. Both the king's sister's sons, and full sicker knights, Bishop Baudouin above begins the table, and Yvain, Urin's son, eats with himself. These were dight on the dais and dear worthily served, and Sithen many sicker sag at the sideboards. Then the first course comes with cracking of trumpets, with many banners full bright that thereby hung, new nacred noise with the noble pipes, wild warbles and white wakened lote, that many hearts full high hef at her touches, dainties drive therewith of full dear meats, fusion of the fresh, and on so field dishes that pine to find the place the people before, for to set the silver that seer sauces Halden on cloth. Each lead, as he loved himself, there laughed without loath. I too had dishes 12, good beer and bright wine both. Now will I of their service say you no more, for each wye may well wit no want that there were. Another noise, full new, negged by live, that the lewd might have leave liftload to catch, for aneath was the noise not a while ceased, and the first course in the court kindly served, there hails in at the hall door an English master, one the most on the mould on measure high, from the swire to the swange so swear and so thick, and his lines and his limbs so long and so great. Half etten in erd I hope that he were, but man must I algate min him to bean, and that the merriest in his muckle that might ride. For of back and of breast all were his body stern, both his womb and his waist were worthily small, and all his features full-gained in form that he had full clean. For wonder of his human haid set in his semblant scene, he furred his freak were fade, and over all anchor green. And all graithed in green, his gome and his weeds, a straight coat full straight, that steck on his sides, a mirror mantle above, mensked within, with pillar pured apart, the pane full clean, with blithe blonner full bright, and his hood both, that was lagged from his locks and laid on his shoulders, heem well-held hose of that same, that spennet on his sparler, and clean spurs under, of bright gold, upon silk boards, barred full rich, and shoals under shanks where the shulk rides, and all his vesture overall was clean verdure, both the bars of his belt and other blithe stones that were richly railed in his array clean, about himself and his saddle upon silk works, that were too tore for to tell of trifles the half that were embroidered above, with brittas and flidges, with gay gaudy of green, the gold aye in middas. The pendants of his patron, the proud crupper, his molinis, and all the metal and meld was then, the stirrups that he stood on stained of the same, and his arsouns all after, and his athel skirts that ever glimmered and glent all of green stones, the foal that he firks on fine of that ilk, certain, a green horse great and thick, a steed full stiff to strain, in broaden bridle quick, to the gome he was full gain. Well gay was this gome geared in green, and the hair of his head of his horse sweet. Fair fannened fax umbifolds his shoulders, as much beard as a bush over his breast hangs, that, with his hay-like hair, that of his head reaches, was a beast all umbertorn above his elbows, that half his arms thereunder were halched in the wise of a king's capados that closes his swire. The mane of that mane horse, much to it like, well crisped and combed with knots full many, folded in with fildor about the fair green, aye a hair of the hair, another of gold, the tail and his topping twins of a suit, and bound in both with a band of a bright green, dubbed with full deer stones as the doke lasted, sithen thrawn with a thong a thwarl not aloft, there many bells full bright of brend gold rungen, such a foal upon fold, nor freak that him rides, was never seen in that sail with sight ere that time, with eye. He looked as late so light, so said all that him sigh, it seemed as no man might, under his dintes dry. Whether he had no helm, nor hauberk neither, nor no pisan, nor no plate that pented to arms, nor no shaft, nor no shield to shove, nor to smite, but in his one hand he had a holly bough, that is greatest in green when groves are bare, and an axe in his other, a huge and unmeet, a spito spath to expound and spell whoso might. The length of an elm gurn the large head had, the grain all of green steel and of gold hewn, the bit burnished bright with a broad edge, as well shaped to shear as sharp razors, the steel of a stiff staff, the stern it by-gripped, that was wound with yarn to the wand's end, and all begraven with green and gracious works, a lace lapped about that locked at the head, and so after the helm halched full oft, with tried tassels thereto tatched enough, on buttons of the bright green braids full rich. This hathel held him in, and the hall enters. Driving to the hedge dais, dutty no woth, hailed he never won, but hedge he overlooked. The first word that he warp, where is, he said, the governor of this king? Gladly I would see that sag in sight, and with himself speak reason.
To knights he cast his eye and rode them up and down.
He stemmed and con stood I, who walt their most renown.
There was looking on length the lewd to behold, for each man had marvel what it mean might, that a hathel and a horse might such a hue latch, as grow green as the grass, and greener it seemed, than green omel on gold glowing brighter. All studied that there stood, and stalked him near, with all the wonder of the world what he watch should. For field sellies had they seen, but such never are. Forthy, for phantom and fairy, the folk there it deemed. Therefore, to answer were arg many athel freak, and all stooned at his Stephen, and stone still sat, in a swog silence through the sail rich, as all were slipped upon sleep, so slack their lots in high. I deem it not all for doubt, but some for courtesy. But let him that all shield lout cast unto that why. Then Arthur before the high dais that adventure beholds, and reckonly him reverenced, for rash was he never, and said, "Why, welcome, you wis, to this place. The head of this hostel, Arthur, I hat. Light lufflike adown, and long I thee pray. And whatso thy will is, we shall wit after." "Nay, as help me," quoth the hathel, "he that on high sits, to own any while in this wone, it was not my end. But for the loss of thee lead, is lift up so high, and thy burg and thy burns best are holden, stiftest under steel gear on steeds to ride, the whitest and the worthiest of the world's kind, proof for to play with in other pure likes, and here is kind courtesy as I have heard carp, and that has waned me hither, iwis, at this time. Ye may be secure by this branch that I bear here, that I pass as in peace, and no plight seek. For had I found it in fear and fighting wise, I have a hauberk at home and a helm both, a shield and a sharp spear shining bright, and other weapons to wield I ween well also. But for I would no war, my weeds are softer. But if thou be so bold as all Burns tell, thou wilt grant me godly the game I ask by right." Arthur con answer, and said, "Sir courteous knight, if thou crave battle bear, here fail'st thou not to fight." "Nay, frayst I no fight. In faith, I thee tell, it on about on this bench but beardless children. If I were hasped in arms on a high steed, here is no man meet a match for might so weak. Forthy, I crave in this court a Christmas game, for it is Yule and New Year, and here are yep many. If any so hardy in this house holds himself, be so bold in his blood, brain in his head, that dare stiffly strike a stroke for another, I shall give him of my gift this gisarm reach, this axe, that is heavy enough to handle as he likes, and I shall bide the first burr as bare as I sit. If any freak be so fell to fond that I tell, leap lightly me too, and latch this weapon. I quit claim it forever, keep it as his own, and I shall stand him a stroke stiff on this flet, ellis thou wilt dight me the doom to deal him another barley, and yet give him respite a twelvemonth and a day. Now high, and let's see tight, dare any herein aught say. If he them stound upon first, stiller were then all the herdmen in hall, the high and the low. The rank on his rounds he rooched in his saddle, and rulishly his red eyes he rolled about, bent his breast brows blycaned green, waved his beard for to wait whoso would rise. When none would keep with him carp, he coughed full high, and rhymed him full richly and right him to speak. "What, is this Arthur's house?" quoth the hathel then, "that all the roofs rends of through realms so many. Where is now your Sir Quidri and your conquests, your Grindelake and your Gream and your great words? Now is the revel and the renown of the Round Table overwalt with the word of one wise speech, for all dare for dread, without deed showed." With this he laughed so loud that the lord grieved. The blood shot for shame into his shire face and leer. He wexed as wroth as wind. So did all that there were. The king as keen by kind then stood that stiff man near, and said, "Hathel, by heaven, thine asking is nice, and as thou folly hast phrased, find thee behoves. I know no gome that is ghast of thy great words. Give me now thy gisern upon God's have, and I shall bathe in thy boon that thou bidden hast." Lightly leaps he him to, and lagged at his hand. Then fiercely that other freak upon foot lights. Now has Arthur his axe and the helm grips, and sternly stirs it about that strike with it thought. The stiff man him before stood upon height, higher than any in the house, by the head and more. With stern shear there he stood. He stroked his beard, and with a countenance dry he drew down his coat, no more mate nor dismayed for his mane dints than any burn upon bench had brought him to drink of wine. Gawain, that sat by the queen, to the king he can incline. I beseech now with sages seen, this melly might be mine. Would ye, worthy lords, quoth Gawain to the king, bid me bode from this bench and stand by you there, that I without villainy might void this table, and that my liege lady liked it not ill. I would come to your council before your court rich, for me think it not seemly, as it is sooth known, where such an asking is heaven so high in your sale, though ye yourself be talentive, to take it yourself, while many so bold you about upon bench sit, than under heaven, I hope, none haggarer of will, nor better bodies on bent where Barrett is reared. I am the weakest, I wot, and of wit feeblest, and least loss of my life, who lates the sooth. But for as much as ye are mine em, I am only to praise. No bounty but your blood I in my body know, and sithen this note is so nice that naught it you falls, and I have framed it at you first, folds it to me, and if I carp not comelily, let all this court rich bout blame. Rich together con round, and sithen they read in all same, to rid the king with crown, and give Gawain the game. Then commanded the king the knight for to rise, and he full radly uprose and ruched him fair, knelt down before the king and catches that weapon, and he lovelily it him loft and lifted up his hand, and gave him God's blessing and gladly him bids that his heart and his hand should hardy be both. Keith thee, cousin, quoth the king, that thou on kerf set, and if thou readest him right, readily I trow, that thou shalt bide in the burr that he shall bead after. Gawain goes to the gome with Gisern in hand, and he boldly him bides, he based never the helder. Then carps to Sir Gawain, the knight in the green,
reform we our forwards ere we further pass.
First I eat thee, Hathel, how that thou hattest, that thou tell me truly, as I trust may. In God's faith, quoth the good knight, Gawain I hatter, that bead thee this buffet, whatso befalls after. And at this time 12 months, take at thee another, with what weapon so thou wilt, and with no why else alive. That other answers again, Sir Gawain, so may I thrive, as I am fairly fain, this dint that thou shalt drive. By God, quoth the Green Knight, Sir Gawain, me likes, that I shall feinge at thy fist what I have phrased here, and thou hast readily rehearsed, by reason full true, cleanly all the covenant that I the king asked, save that thou shalt sicker me, Seg, by thy troth, that thou shalt seek me thyself, whereso thou hopest I may be found upon fold, and foach thee such wages as thou dealst me today, before this dooth rich. Where should I wail thee, quoth Gawain, where is thy place? I wot never where thou wonest by him that me wrought. Nor I know not thee, knight, thy court, nor thy name, but teach me truly thereto, and tell me how thou hattest, and I shall wear all my wit to win me thither, and I shall swear thee forsooth, and by my second troth. That is enough in new year, it needs no more, quoth the gome in the green to Gawain the hend. If I thee tell truly when I the tap have, and thou me smoothly have smitten, smartly I thee teach of my house, and my home, and mine own name. Then may thou phrase thy fare, and forwards hold. And if I spend no speech, then speedest thou the better, for thou mayst lame in thy land, and late no further. But Slokes, take now thy grim toll to thee, and let's see how thou knokes. Gladly, sir, forsooth, quoth Gawain, his axe he strokes. The green knight upon ground greatly him dresses, a little lute with the head, the leer he discovers, his long lovely locks he laid over his crown, let the naked neck to the note show. Gawain gripped to his axe and gathers it on high, the K-foot on the fold he before sets, lets it down lightly light on the naked, that the sharp of the shock shindered the bones, and shrank through the shire grease and scathed it in twain. that the bit of the brown steel bought on the ground, the fair head from the halsh hit to the earth, that feel it foined with their feet where it forth rolled. The blood brayed from the body that blike on the green, and neither falter nor fell the freak never the helder, but stifly he starts forth upon stiff shanks, and runishly he reached out there as rank stood, lagged to his lovely head and lifts it up sown, and sith in bogs to his blonk. The bridle he catches, and his head by the hair in his hand holds, and as sadly the seg him in his saddle sets, as no unhap had him ailed, though headless he were, instead. He brayed his bulk about that ugly body that bled. Many a one of him had doubt, by that his reasons were red. For the head in his hand he holds up even, toward the dearest on the dais he dresses the face, and it lifted up the eyelids and looked full broad, and mealed thus much with his mouth, as ye may now hear. Lok, Gawain, thou be graith to go as thou hettest, and late as Lely till thou me lewd find, as thou hast hetter in this hall, harangued these knights, to the green chapel thou chose. I charge ye to fote such a dint as thou hast dealt. Deserved thou hast to be geddily golden on New Year's morn. The knight of the green chapel, men know me many. Forth me for to find if thou frayst, failst thou never. Therefore come, other recreant be called thee behoves. With a runish rout the reins he turns, haled out at the hall door, his head in his hand, that the fire of the flint flew from the foal hoofs. To what kith he became, knew none there, never more than they wist from Wethen he was wonen. What then? The king and Gawain there, at that green they laugh and grin, yet breathed was it full bare, a marvel among those men. Though Arthur the Hend King at heart had wonder, he let no semblance be seen, but said full high to the comely queen with courteous speech, "Dear dame, today dismay you never. Well become such craft upon Christmas, laking of interludes to laugh and to sing among these kind carols of knights and ladies. Nevertheless, to my meat I may me well dress, for I have seen a selly I may not forsake." He glent upon Sir Gawain, and keenly he said, "Now, sir, hang up thine axe that has enough hewed." And it was done above the dais on Doser to hang, where all men for marvel might on it look, and by true title thereof to tell the wonder. Then they bode to a board these burns together, the king and the good knight, and keen men them served, of all dainties double as dearest might fall, with all manner of meat and minstrelsy both. With weal walt they that day, till worth an end, in loaned. Now think well, Sir Gawain, for woth that thou not woned, this adventure for to frain, that thou hast taken in honed.